Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Garanta Raza Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giridas Maharaj ki, Jai Gopri Manandi. Okay. Quiet tonight. Not so many devotees. That's okay. Good. Okay, so tonight we're going to read chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. And we'll hear about the churning of the ocean of milk. At the end of chapter 8, we'll have our first exam. So there's a very good chance the exam may be in 2 weeks today. I'll have to let you know next week. It just depends, because we have holy in the middle of all everything. So it just depends how my time goes. But we may finish chapter 8 next Monday, maybe. And we may... made a revision on Tuesday, but then we'd have to let everyone know, so it's a bit hard for me to work out. Otherwise we'll do it a week later or something like that. Let's see what's practical. But it's coming up next couple of weeks, there'll be an exam, and your closed book exams are due, oral presentations should be done. Okay, so tonight we'll continue in chapter 8 and we'll hear about the churning of the ocean of milk. So this is an event which takes place in the beginning of the universe. This is going back millions and millions of years. And when the milk ocean was churned, many auspicious things came from the ocean. So tonight we'll hear about what came from the ocean. Text number 1. Shukadeva Goswami continued. Upon Lord Shiva's drinking the poison, both the demigods and the demons, being very pleased, began to churn the ocean with renewed vigor. As a result of this, there appeared a cow known as Surabhi. Okay, so Chaitan, you want to read that?
The Surabhi cow is described as Havildhani, the source of butter. Butter, when clarified by melting, produces ghee or clarified butter, which is inevitably necessary for performing great ritualistic sacrifices. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.5, Yajna Dhana Tapa Karma Na Tyajnam Karyam Evata. Sacrifice, charity and austerity are essential to keep human society perfect in peace and prosperity. Yajna, or the performances of sacrifice, is essential to perform yajna. Clarified butter is absolutely necessary, and to get clarified butter, milk is necessary. Milk is produced when there are sufficient cows. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita 18.44, cow protection is recommended.
Okay, so what are the points in the first paragraph?
Kavi is one of the seven mothers that's mentioned in the scriptures. So cow protection must be done. Otherwise, the Lord Krishna also says Gauracha. Otherwise, there is no prosperity. We can see in this age and time how there is no prosperity for the people. So it's degrading because there is no cow protection.
Any other points?
And all the sacrifices are to be done to please the Yajna Purusha, who is Lord Narayana Krishna, and it's not for their own sins, selfish motives. Is happening in today's world.
Anything else?
In India, we are having the national elections now.
When are they?
One week, Thursday. Voting
next Thursday. In the afternoon. During the Rahu call, auspicious time.
So yesterday or day before we were in Sydney and we got a message saying that ISKCON has suggested that we vote for one candidate, doesn't matter what his name is, but this person is he's corrupt in, well, every politician is corrupt at the end of the day, but at least he is pro power protection. So because he has done something in Gujarat towards that effect. So he at least stands up for that. So which is good. Amidst all the other evil that they can bring in, so it's good. So there was a message which we got saying that it's from us. And what God has said is the lesser of the devil.
Okay, so Vedic civilization is based upon cow protection. If the cows are not protected, then it is not considered to be a civilized society. So we're seeing at this point in time, society is having so many problems, and it's basically because of this key point. And you see Prabhupada, whenever he would meet with people, particularly people who are Christian, it's just... Set up some chairs there. Yeah, there's a chair there. It's okay. There's a chair there. So, whenever Prabhupada would... Whenever Prabhupada would preach to someone who was from a Christian background, or from a Western background, he would always emphasize this point. You see, continuously. In his Western preaching, whenever someone was brought before him, a Christian priest or something like that, constantly he would speak about this point. It says in the Bible, thou shalt not kill, why are you killing the animals? And Prabhupada would just continue and continue and continue. So it is, effectively, it's the most sinful activity, and it is the most... you could say, influential sinful activity in Kali Yuga. And Prabhupada points it out in this section of the Bhagavatam. In this section of the Bhagavatam, he says that basically people are dying from cancer. And we see that cancer is rampant now in the world. Practically, it's hard that, everyone knows at least half a dozen people or something who have cancer or who are fighting with it. And wars and all these problems, quarrel that we're having, problems, it's basically this one point. So it cannot be emphasized enough that the cows need to be protected. And unfortunately in Australia we are, we might be number two in the world, I think, or we're in the very top percentage of cow killers on the planet. I think India is number one now.
Aren't they the top distributors? Because they have so much cows there that they've got too much that they distribute cows all around the world.
Who's that?
India.
Yeah, I was reading a figure the other day. I can't remember the amount, but it's incredible amount of cows going to Bangladesh every day. Thousands upon thousands. Because in Bangladesh, obviously, it's primarily Muslim. So Indian cows are going across the border like staggering numbers are going across. So at this point... and Prabhupada emphasizes all through, the Vedic civilization is based on cow protection. Because if you protect the cow, then everything else falls into place. Right? Then we'll understand how to protect everything else. But if the cow is neglected, then everything else will be neglected. And human society just deteriorates continuously. And we're seeing that's what's happening in this day and age. And in Australia, Australia is one of the leaders. So you'll see Australia... whether we're not, we see it in our lifetime completely or not, but Australia will fall apart in terms of its being the... it's like a privileged place to live on the planet at this point in time. It's probably one of the top two nations on the planet to live in at this point in time. It's very comfortable in Australia at this point in time. But it will completely become ruined because of this one point, you know, because we're just killing cows. So... the Vedic civilization is based upon cow protection. Now, Prabhupada emphasizes in the purport, based on Krishna's instructions in the 18th chapter of the Gita, Krishna says that sacrifice, charity, and austerity must never be given up. Now, everyone must perform sacrifice, charity, and austerity. And Krishna says, even great people, very, very pure, even Prabhupada himself, as an example, someone who is already perfect and pure, but even they become purified by performing sacrifice, charity, or austerity. That is the nature of these activities. So Krishna is emphasizing the Gita. They must never be given up. We must never give up sacrifice. What does sacrifice mean? It means giving to the Lord. And that can be done in so many ways. I mean, we have the what we call yajna in Vedic civilization. So that's the traditional yajna, where you throw the grains and the ghee into the fire, the sacrificial fire. But sacrifice means everything we do, it must be done for Krishna. Right? And that purifies our consciousness. Therefore, Krishna says in the third chapter of the Gita, that if you do not offer your food to him, you are eating sin. So therefore, every person must offer their food to Krishna. That is the system. Right? And by that sacrifice, we become purified in consciousness. Sometimes devotees become lazy, they don't offer their food. Or they do some very slack offering. Or they eat things which you cannot offer. Right? There's a vegetarian pizza shop in St. Kilda, Mr. Natural. I know some devotees. They buy the pizzas and they offer them. But I said to the devotee, how can you offer it? It's not cooked by a devotee. Why does Krishna want to eat that? Krishna relishes, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, the best offering is when the devotee grows the food, right? He picks the food, and then he cooks the food, and then he offers the food to Krishna. Right? That's when Krishna gets the most satisfaction. Just like Uddhava Bandhu Prabhu, he grows so many of his own vegetables. You still doing that? Yeah. How's it going?
No, it's a winter season, so we'll start from September. And
you don't grow anything?
No, I have beetroot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but you can grow cauliflower, broccoli all through winter.
Broccoli did not come from me. Broccoli and cauliflower not come.
No, but you plant them now.
No.
At the farm we're going to start planting soon. There's winter variety also. Many things you can grow also. Winter's not a write-off. You don't have to. There's many things you can also grow. What's it? Yeah, they come. Yeah, broad beans, all these things come. So the point is that Krishna gets the most satisfaction when we grow the vegetable, and then we pick the vegetable, and then we offer it to him, and cook it and offer it to him. That's when he gets the most satisfaction. So sacrifice must never be given up, because it purifies the consciousness. Then, charity. Charity must be there, especially for the grihasthas. You have to give charity. Now, charity is only effective when you give to Krishna. Right? You just give to the Salvation Army or, you know, some charitable institution. But they're using, you know, what are they serving the people? You give the money to Salvation Army or Red Cross or something, but then they serve cows to the people. They just serve meat to the people. So you're giving money for bad karma, even though they say, oh, it's charity and it's good. And in Australia, we're one of the biggest charity givers in the world, per capita. Australians give a lot of money for charity. They're very... it's just the nature of Australian people. You go up and ask people for a donation, they'll just give. Australian people are very much like this. But they give to the wrong thing. And so much of the money gets wasted. I was also reading recently about reports about charities, like all overseas, when there's some problem and everyone sends money to the different countries, and whenever there's something big, everyone sends money. And I was reading the percentage of what actually gets to the people. I think the average is like between 10 and 15% when all the costs are taken out like that. So the best charity you can give is when you give to Krishna. So you give to the temple, for the Food for Life program, or just anything you give to Krishna, that is the best charity. Because that will be used for a transcendental purpose, and you will become purified. So charity given to the right cause, and Krishna speaks about this in the 17th chapter of the Gita, about different types of charity, about different types of charity in the different modes of nature. But then the devotees are interested in giving for a transcendental cause. So sacrifice, charity, and
austerity.
Austerity must never be given up. So we were speaking about this in the class this morning, right? The best austerity in Kali Yuga is? Preaching Krishna consciousness. That is our best tapasya, because it's an austerity. We have to make some sacrifice. But when you bring someone else to Krishna, then that is the greatest sacrifice. That is the greatest austerity. That is the best tapasya. And that purifies the consciousness the most. And that makes you the dearest to Krishna. And actually, it is enjoyable. We're explaining that to the devotees this morning. Just like when Prabhupada gives the example, you drink hot sugarcane juice. So it's burning your lips, but you can't stop. Too sweet to resist, too hot to handle, but too sweet to resist. The Prabhupada would say that. He said, Prabhupada said, that's a good chutney. A good chutney is so hot, you don't want to eat it because it's burning you, but it's so nice, you can't stop. Too hot to handle, too sweet to resist. So that is ISKCON. ISKCON is too hot to handle, but it's too sweet to resist. Preaching, it means you have to do some austerity, but it's so nectarian doing that austerity. Nothing feels better. At the end of the day, you're completely exhausted, you just put your head on your pillow and you just pass out. Because you've done so much service for Krishna. So in the purport, Prabhupada is saying these three must never be given up. Following Krishna's teachings in the Gita. So, any points?
When you are talking about Australia, what about New Zealand? New Zealand was the same. Meat, the cow cream, there is rampant in New Zealand. Is it equally or more or less? It's a small country.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the percentages are, but yeah, I mean, they do it everywhere. And in New Zealand, they had the big earthquake. Everything got shaken up, so Australia will get hit in due course of time. We had big fires here, and everything will fall apart eventually. So, see what happens between Russia and America. This whole Ukraine thing is just it's just Russia and America. There's politics behind the politics, I think. Things that people don't see or understand, but we'll see what happens. What's that? No, Australia is white quintessence. Oh, no, we're totally safe. Nothing bad will ever happen. Well, I wrote about all this. Yes. Nothing more bad will happen. Australia, yeah. Just because we slaughter more cows than anyone else in the world, but nothing bad will happen to us. I think we're number two in the world. Oh, yeah, really popular. Yeah, it's not doing very well. McDonald's is doing very well. Gopals is doing okay. But yeah, when there's as many Gopals as there is McDonald's, then we know we're doing okay. No, we can't relax. But we can. When all the McDonald's are closed, then we can relax. Long way to go.
What happens to the other 85% of the donations that get sent to the other?
Hey, you kids, are you going to calm down or not? Is this a kindergarten? Is this Kumon?
So what happens to the other 85% of the money that gets sent to charity all around the world?
Yeah, most of it goes into administration costs. Like, they have to pay all the people who run the charities. So most of it goes into wages and that kind of thing.
And then the 15% just goes to charity.
Gets to the actual people who we're supposed to be sending the money to. Like that.
So not many people get the money that they're supposed to.
Well, not as much as what we give. You give a dollar and they get 15 cents or something. something like that. It doesn't change a lot either, that's the point. Because in Ethiopia, that was about 25 years ago, there was a big famine in Ethiopia in Africa, and they did a big rock concert for the whole world called Live Aid. I remember I was about 15 at the time. And they, you know, sent millions and millions of dollars, millions, to Ethiopia. And then 20 years later, I heard the report, and they said, not man, in the country. Millions of dollars went. They changed. Any other points? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
O King Parikshit, great sages who were completely aware of the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies took charge of that Sarabi cow, which produced all the yogurt, milk and ghee absolutely necessary for offering oblations into the fire. They did this just for the sake of pure ghee, which they wanted for the performance of sacrifices to elevate themselves to the higher planetary systems, up to Brahma Loka. So we'll read the purport, Mahatmaji.
Sulabhi cow is generally found on the Vaikuntha planets. As described in Brahma Samhita, Lord Krishna on his planet Golok Vrindavan engages in tending the Sulabhi cow. Sulabhir Avipalayantum. These cows are the Lord's pet animals. From the Sulabhi cow, one can take as much milk as one needs, and one may milk these cows as many times as he desires. In other words, the Sulabhi cow can yield milk unlimitedly. Milk is necessary for the performance of yajna. Sages know how to use milk to elevate human society to the perfection of life. Since cow protection is recommended everywhere in the Shastra, the Brahmavadis took charge of the Sulabhi cow, in which the demons were not very interested.
Any points?
Sulabhi cow, you can have unlimited amount of milk. Any time of the day or night.
Anything else?
Nitanchan Prabhu actually sent an email in relation to these cows that are in India which have got humps at the back, and apparently they actually have milk which can be unlimitedly coming, and it's very high in protein, which is what is actually good for the brains and all that, which is what we talk about when we drink milk. And apparently that that cow is very similar, they say, to the Sulabhi cow, which is what there was a big article in Houston. And now those cows are being transferred to Western countries and they sell it as A2 milk. Mm-hmm.
So at Hare Krishna Valley, we just brought new cows.
Yes.
Guess which ones we brought?
The
ones with the humps. Gear.
Yeah.
Brahman cows, actually.
Yeah.
Brahman cows. Well, that's we're going to breed gear. We're going to breed the original. Manigriva's got a whole plan. How to breed. Yeah, last week. Night before Ram Navami. Her name is Sita Priya. And she was only a few hours old and she was running up to us. So friendly, so loving. So she's ecstatic. She's the best thing that's ever happened to Australia. So come and visit her. Anyone who's coming this Sunday for Holi, you can go and visit her. She's there. Very friendly, very affectionate. And so any other points?
The Brahmavadis.
Yeah.
What is that left to be?
Means Brahmanas.
But it says that Vedic ritualistic ceremonies.
Yeah.
So if they just know the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies.
Yeah, they're Brahma, but they're Brahmanas. It doesn't say what sort of Brahmanas they are.
Mm-hmm.
But they're Brahmanas. Any other points?
If people would protect cows, would we become like powers like chanting powerful mantras and offering you to sacrificial fire?
Would humans become powerful again?
Yeah, because now it's not recommended to be sacrificed, sacrifice of humans anymore because we are not powerful anymore. So isn't that also a reason why people stay powerful?
I don't understand. What's the...
Like we, people don't do fire sacrifices anymore.
In general?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, basically,
people
might, maybe Indian might think that we don't
have
a deal anymore,
okay? Yeah. Yeah, well, that's part of it. These things have become less common in Kali Yuga. People don't think cows are important anymore, that's the point. It's a different civilization, it's a different mindset or different way of thinking. A Vedic civilization understands the importance of cows. For everything you can get from them. So Prabhupada says in the purport that they were looked after by the brahmanas. So in a civilized society, because Krishna is known as Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, protector of the cows, protectors of the brahmanas. So Prabhupada said ISKCON is meant to create a class of brahmanas. A brahmana means someone who can give spiritual guidance to others. So that is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. It is to give spiritual guidance to others. So we need people, and that's why we have these classes. That's why we do this course. So that we can learn ourselves and then we can teach others and give them spiritual guidance. So what is the necessity? The necessity is that we have to teach people to develop the vision that Krishna speaks of in the Bhagavad Gita in the 5th chapter, Pandit Samadarshana. Samadarshana means you see equally. At this point in time, people don't see equally, right? On the news in the last few weeks, they're talking about saving the whales. Because the Japanese head down to the Southern Ocean every year and catch the whales. So they all go out there, right, to stop the whales, right? And it's on the radio and everything. But then the captain of the ship is eating chicken, right? Driving around in the ocean, chasing the Japanese so they won't shoot the whales, and he's eating chicken. So what's the point? Why is the whale important and the chicken's not important? Or I was listening to the radio today while I was driving through the car, and then they were discussing about, because it's Easter and, cooking certain dishes, and then one of the dishes had meat in it. But this is no conception, right? Because there's no spiritual vision in society that there's something wrong with this. So the whole point of ISKCON is to teach people to see things spiritually. So that not that we protect one creature, but we don't protect another, then that's not spiritual. And that's the problem with the world these days, it's all hypocritical. Right? Everyone wants to save the eagles and the dolphins and the whales, but they don't want to save the chickens, the pigs, and the
cows.
So it doesn't make sense. Where is the equality in vision? So therefore the responsibility of Surabhi, when this cow comes, it is given to the brahmanas. Or to those who see things spiritually. Because they know how to protect. Therefore, in society, this is the greatest need. Prabhupada says we need a class of brahmins. People who can teach the others to see things properly, to act properly. So we ourselves have to become brahmanas. You have to become a brahmana. Brahmana. One who is in Brahman. Brahman means spirit. Or brahmachari, or brahmacharini. Acharya, or achar means like to wander. So brahmachari means one who is like wandering in spirit. So this should be the purpose of ISKCON. For us to become spiritually enlightened and then to make others spiritually enlightened, because the world's... It's all over the place. Like I told you, I was speaking in the Sunday feast lecture at the farm, and I told you before, I think, that I went to the Buddhist ashram. There's a Buddhist ashram near our farm, about 15 minutes from our farm. So I went to the Buddhist ashram, and I was speaking to the head Buddhist. She's a nun. And then I said to her, just as I was leaving, I said, "So are you a vegetarian?" And she said, "That is good, but more important to be nice to people." So I looked at her like, "What are you? You don't understand very much." You know, it's just important to be nice to people. See, that's more important. Good if you're a vegetarian, but more important, just be nice to people. So I can go and have McDonald's and I can just be nice to people, and that's okay. That's not spiritual. But these days in Kali Yuga, that's what becomes taught. Just do whatever you want as long as you're nice to people, whatever that means. And everyone has their own definition of what is nice anyway. So the whole thing is very confused in Kali Yuga. So ISKCON's purpose is not to compromise. And you see, whenever Prabhupada was teaching, there was no compromise. Right? He would just continuously push on this point. Why do you not see all the creatures on the earth equally? Why do you not have spiritual vision? He would just continuously put on this point. And he wouldn't go further. Right? He wouldn't go on to higher things. And whenever they change the subject, you know, you see the famous video when he's with the cardinal of France. Can't remember his name. Yeah, there's a famous video. I think most of you have seen it. Prabhupada and the cardinal. And, you know, Prabhupada's legs going like this. he's frustrated with this man. Right? And he keeps changing the point, this person. He says, the animals do not have soul. And Prabhupada keeps going on the point, and then the cardinal says, this is not so important. And he tries to change, and Prabhupada just keeps... Prabhupada won't change the point. And then the cardinal becomes frustrated, because Prabhupada just won't not change. Right?
No compromise.
No compromise. And this is what Prabhupada was like. He wasn't sentimental. Right? These days, you know, people want us to go to interfaith gatherings, where we all hold hands, and we all like, you know, like that. But people aren't actually practicing this. I mean, we should go to these things, and we should cultivate people and make friends, but we should not compromise either. We should teach people what is actual spirituality, not some pseudo or artificial spirituality. So, any points?
I want to know whether if a ferry or ship is going, if the whale comes, will it
turn?
If a whale is coming in the ocean, and the ship or the ferry is going, does the whale have to
get
anything
to turn the ship? No.
Turn it over? No.
Does it turn
the ship? Whale is very big,
isn't it? It's probably one of the best questions I've had so far. I don't really know if this is the course that you would ask that question in.
No, because you are telling about the Japanese are coming and shooting off the whale. That's what I asked. I just want to know whether they can turn the ship when the ship is going.
You probably need to ask a scientist who studies, what do they call it when you study under the water? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a marine biologist. Probably. I'm probably not the right person to ask. Thank you, very nice question.
I've probably shared it before actually going to the ship.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the whale, these days I don't think a whale could knock over a ship because the ships are made of iron. And the ship would weigh hundreds and hundreds of tons. I think the whales weigh about 30 tons. So I don't think they could tip a ship over. I don't think it would be possible. Yeah, I'm probably not the right person to ask this question to. Thank you. Okay. But what I'll do as soon as the class is finished, I'll go and Google it. So next time we have class, I'll have the answer for you. Because otherwise I won't be able to sleep properly. Because I think there's a really important subject matter. So, can you research this for me? Any other points? Yeah, and Krishna mentions in that later portion of the Gita, he also speaks about discrimination in ignorance, passion, and goodness. So in the mode of ignorance, you do things which are bad for you, but you think they're good, like smoking cigarettes. Right? So it's bad for you, Right? Everyone says it. Right? It's on the packets even these days. Everyone knows it's bad for you, but still they do it. That's a mode of ignorance. That is tamasic.
Right,
that's
it. They say it's addictive.
What's that?
They say it's addictive.
It is addictive. That's why we shouldn't start. Because you start, then you become addicted, and it's difficult. So then do not do it. If the government was sensible, they would not do it. It's like Prabhupada went to Gujarat. Surat is in Gujarat. Yeah, so Prabhupada was in Surat. So Prabhupada was going for a walk in the morning into the field, and they're growing tobacco. And Prabhupada said, "What is this?"
Mm-hmm.
He knew what it was, but they said tobacco. So they're growing tobacco, so they can send it thousands of miles away and sell it, so then they can get money, so they can go and buy their vegetables. So Prabhupada said, "What is the sense? Is it good to just grow vegetables? Or you grow this stupid thing, send it away, get money, so then you can buy food. You just grow your food. This is Krishna's system. Krishna's system is you grow your food where you live. Not that you get it from another part of the world. That's not sensible. This is the way the world is these days."
Nowadays, the traditional farmers are selling.
Yeah.
So there's no support to the government. The government doesn't support farming and all that.
200. There's one bottom, right? And there's one company in the world. They sell seeds, yeah. And in America, they own 100% of the seeds for soybeans and many of the seeds. And it was when Bush was the president, he signed with, Rao or something was the prime minister of India at the time or something. He signed with Bush that Monsanto could come into India. So what they do is they sell the seeds and you have to buy it from them, and they sell it such a way that you can't make profit, really. So they drive all the farmers down and down economically until the guys don't know what to do, and then they go and the fertilizer which the company sells you, they go and drink the fertilizer and kill themselves. So in India it's like 200,000 farmers, I mean the figure could even be more now, have committed suicide because they just can't afford. You know, and now like in America and other places, they're almost passing laws that you can't keep your own seeds. You have to buy them from these companies.
Actually, I understand at the moment that's happening in my country.
Yep.
They are being supervised by helicopters, which kind of think, are you growing into your property? And if you pay, you have to show that you pay the tax to grow on your country.
Yeah.
Even
they
can
give
you,
you
can have
water
problems, or you can go even to jail.
You can pay for 2 weeks. Yeah, it's all over the world. These things are happening. So they're controlling the farmers in America. What happens is because this company owns all the seeds now. So if you keep your own seeds and you're growing soybeans in your land, and then if they like the wind blows the seeds and it goes into someone else's land, and then your seed, which does not belong to Monsanto, starts growing there, then they can take you to court. It's so crazy. They're doing all these crazy things. And it's actually happening as we speak. So there's these demoniac companies. I mean, there's a full-on demoniac mentality which is taking place on the earth at the moment. And that is what is ruining everything. Now, instead of just keeping your own seed and just growing it and living organically and naturally, everything is just becoming controlled by demoniac personalities now.
So then we're just going to have a great shortage all around the world?
It's starting to happen, yeah. It's starting to happen. There's actually a food shortage already. That's why the prices are going up so much. But it will escalate in the next few decades. So.
I think we're like running out of petrol now because it's becoming so expensive
Yeah, that's a limited resource as well. Because there's other things we can use besides petroleum, oil. They've already developed other types of fuels like that, but they obviously because of economics, they're not using those other fuels. And yeah, there will be problems.
Why not just use electricity?
Yeah, or why not just use a horse and cart or get a bullock cart or walk. Well, if you walk from here to the farm, how long will it take?
Probably days.
A couple of days, probably. So what's the problem? Go to exercise. You want us to walk? Just go for a walk. You know, in Lord Chaitanya's time, they used to walk from Mayapur to Puri every year. If devotees wanted to go from Mayapur to Puri, it'd take them 1 month, and everyone would just walk. The whole village, everyone would just get up and walk. And these days, it takes us 1 day. We just get on the train and then we go, or it takes a couple of hours, you just go on the plane or like that. But. Okay. Thereafter, a horse named Uchai Shrava, which was as white as the moon, was generated. Bali Maharaj desired to possess this horse, and Indra, the king of heaven, did not protest, for he had previously been so advised by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the demons wanted the horse, whose name was?
Uchai Shrava.
And the Lord himself, who was present, he said to the demigods, let them have the horse. Because he knew that they would become proud. He said, don't worry, they're proud, these people. So let them have their material desires, let them get bewildered and let them go off, but we will get the things which are really important.
Why would they want a horse that's as white as the moon? What's the benefit of it?
Well, it's not an ordinary horse.
Is it invincible or something?
Yeah, it's like that. It's not like some ordinary horse. It's like, it's just come out of the ocean of milk itself, so. It would have qualities. It would have amazing qualities. And these aren't ordinary. Whatever's coming out of the ocean, it's not like an ordinary. You've just had a cow that gives unlimited milk. Right? So, I mean, these aren't ordinary things which are...
I'd take it instead of the horse any day. The cow.
Yeah, well, you're a demigod, but... The demons wanted the horse. Like that. Prabhupada said, what is the most beautiful animal? The horse. Prabhupada said, the cow is not beautiful. No, that's not beautiful, but compared to the horse is beautiful. Horses are beautiful. So, women especially, they'd be very attracted by horses. So the horses are very beautiful. So the demons, as soon as they saw the horse, they, I want that. So the Lord said, let them have it. Like that. We will get the other things. As the next result of the churning, the king of elephants, named Airavata, was generated. This elephant was white, and with its four tusks, it defied the glories of Kailas Mountain, the glorious abode of Lord Shiva. So the elephant had how many tusks?
Four
tusks. And how many trunks?
One.
It's not mentioned here, but it has 10 trunks. 10 trunks and four like that. It's and the elephant was given to Indra. Wherever Indra goes, it's on Airavata, this very powerful elephant. He rides through the air on the elephant. So that's what, these aren't ordinary animals. Like this elephant can go in through space. Indra travels through space on this elephant, so not like ordinary animals. Thereafter, O king, 8 great elephants which could go in any direction were generated. They were headed by Airavana. 8 she-elephants, headed by Abramu, were also generated. So, Janeshwar, can you read the purport?
The names of the 8 elephants were Airavana, Pundarika, Vamana, Kumuda, Anjana, Pushpadana, Sarvabhauma, and Shurpatika.
Any points?
The horse is a very lucky animal.
Because
nobody's cutting the horse
anything. No one cuts the horse and eats it.
Yeah.
What do you think dog food is?
Am I sure?
They
don't eat horse at all.
What do you think dog food is? Nothing is safe in Kali Yuga. Generated thereafter from the great ocean were the celebrated gems Kostubha Mani and Padma Raga Mani. Lord Vishnu, to decorate his chest, desired to possess them. Generated next to the Parijata flower, which decorates the celestial planets. O King, as you fulfill the desires of everyone on this planet by fulfilling all ambitions, the Parijata fulfills the desires of everyone. So these jewels, like the Kaustubhamani, this is an appearance pastime. When Krishna appears in this world, there are appearance pastimes. Just like Govardhan Hill appears. The Govardhan Hill always exists. Right? Kaustubhamani always exists. The Lord always wears it. But it appears. So there are appearance pastimes for the Lord himself and also for his paraphernalia and his associates. But it's not that the Kaustubhamani did not belong to Narayan or Krishna. But when it appeared, then he said, I want that. Like that, because it belonged to him already. So. Okay. Next there appeared the Apsaras, who were used as prostitutes on the heavenly planets. They were fully decorated with golden ornaments and lockets and were dressed in fine and attractive clothing. The Apsaras moved very slowly in an attractive style that bewilders the inhabitants of the heavenly planets. Then there appeared the goddess of fortune, Rama, who is absolutely dedicated to being enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She appeared like electricity, surpassing the lightning that might illuminate a marble mountain. Gilga, she liked to read them.
Shri means opulence. Krishna is the owner of all opulence. Bhaktaram Yajitamasam, Sarvaloka Mahesham, Suritanam Sarvasitanam, Gatmanam, Santipati. This speech formula for the world is given in Bhagavad Gita 5.29. When people know that the Supreme Lord, Krishna, is the Supreme Enjoyer, the Supreme Proprietor, the most intimate, well-wishing friend of all living entities, peace and prosperity will ensure all over the world. Unfortunately, the conditioned souls being placed into illusion by the external energy of the Lord want to fight with one another, and therefore peace is disturbed. The first prerequisite for peace is that all the wealth presented by Shri, the goddess of fortune, be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone should give up his false proprietorship over worldly possessions and offer everything to Krishna. This is the teaching of Krishna consciousness.
So what are the points?
If you want to have peace, then you should also have a way to come up.
Anything else?
Krishna consciousness should be the treasury of the world. Should become the treasury of the world.
Trustee.
Treasury.
Was
talking about treasury of the world.
Yeah. We should become
the treasury of the world. That's
we should be the treasurers.
Yes.
The Prabhupada said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said that Krishna can give you the world in 18 days. He said, then what will you do with it? We're not ready to have the whole world yet, so Krishna can give it to us if he wants. Then what are you going to do with it? So when we're ready, then Krishna will give us more. So, any other points?
I think the presence of Krishna created this world, but it is all the creations for his pleasure. So in this pastor we can see Samadhi is a place that's keen to be understood as for the pleasure of the Lord. So whereas when we becoming enjoys, then that's when we develop envy towards the Lord.
Yeah, so Prabhupada's basic point, which he reiterates in this section and throughout his teachings, is that Shri belongs to Krishna. Shri ultimately means Srimati Radharani. Krishna expands as Narayan. Radharani expands as Lakshmi. And Lakshmi means wealth, opulence. Shri means beauty, opulence, fortune, all of these auspicious things. Everything belongs to Krishna. Therefore, everything should be given to Krishna. Just like my godbrother, Priyavrata Prabhu, he is in charge of Hare Krishna Food for Life, global. He's in charge. He came to Melbourne a couple of years ago. So I was reading, he was here on the internet the other day. He cooked a meal prasadam for the president of Uruguay. One country, Uruguay. Yeah, where is it?
Africa.
No, it's not in Africa. It's in northern South. South America. It's in the northern part, right?
More in the north.
Yeah, more in the north. So the president of Uruguay. But Uruguay is one of the poorest countries in the world. And he's the president. And Priyavrata, friend of a friend, introduced and he said, can I cook dinner? So he cooked prasadam and sat down. And he's with the president and they had dinner. And he liked it very much, ate the dinner. And Priyavrata said that the president, because he gets paid more than everyone else in the country, a very poor country, he gives 90% of his wage every week to the poor people. Because he understands the wealth does not belong to him, but it is for the benefit of others. So Priyavrata Prabhu, because he's an expert preacher, he said to the president, he said, I need a representative for Hare Krishna Food for Life in Uruguay, and I would like you to be the in charge. So the president agreed. So the president's now in charge of Hare Krishna Food for Life in Uruguay. Priya's very smart.
Actually, Mujica is one of the most humble presidents that we have at the moment in South America. And he's been a very humble to humanity, and he's a very simple person. He's the only president that didn't wear very elegant suit. He's with the people, connected with people, a lot of people. He legalizes a lot of things in his country. But Uruguay is not one of the most poorest countries.
Isn't it?
No.
Okay.
Peru and Bolivia. Uruguay, the economy are well.
Not so bad. Okay.
But at the moment, a lot of people want to just follow his example because he is very humble and he's the only one that is in similar position as people and they give human rights for them. Actually, it's the best person.
Yeah, that's what Priya was saying. Yeah, Priya wrote that it was one of the poorest countries, so that's why I thought that. But he said that the president is a very simple person, and he said the president grows his own vegetables. Doesn't even buy vegetables. Just has his own little garden out the back, goes out there, makes the garden, grows his vegetables, and then very simple person, very good. So the point is that opulence belongs to Krishna. So even though he's the president of the country, but 90% of the wealth he gives it to the citizens for benefit of the country. So
why wouldn't he buy from the farmers to actually try and boost the economy a bit more?
Well, it's even smarter to grow your own food. That's even smarter. That's even a better example. But he supports the farmers. That's the point. He tries to look out for folks. Anyway, so the point is when we meet pious people, we should somehow try to lead them into devotional service, Krishna consciousness. Because this man is not perfect in the sense that he doesn't fully realize everything belongs to Krishna yet, but he's setting many good examples. So Priyavrata is very intelligent and he's dovetailing and using this pious person and leading him into Krishna's service. And now he made him the leader of Hare Krishna Food for Life in Uruguay. So very good preacher. Any points? Yeah. Ishopanishad. Everything belongs to?
Krishna.
Yeah, Krishna. So you have to give 90% of your wage to Krishna. Easy to say it, but.
Yes, we should.
We should, yeah. We should. Of course, then you have nowhere to live. You can't do that in Australia, it's very difficult. But. Okay. Because of her exquisite beauty, her bodily features, her youth, her complexion, and her glories, everyone, including the demigods, the demons, and the human beings, desired her. They were attracted because she is the source of all opulences. So this is a very good point. Why is it that we cannot see Krishna? Or why is it that we cannot see Srimati Radharani? Because we have material desires. But what happened is that the demons and even the demigods, they saw Lakshmi, but then they desired, I want her. That's why we can't see Krishna at this point in time. That's why we can't see Radharani and we can't see the spiritual world. Because if we saw everything, because we had the wrong desires at this point in time, we would simply want it for our own sense gratification. So therefore, in the 10th canto, you'll see the pastime of the Rasa Leela. It describes that when Krishna is dancing with the gopis, the demigods come to watch the Rasa Leela, but they can't see the gopis. They can only see 3 billion Krishnas dancing. But they can't see the gopis. Because if we see, right, these spiritual personalities, we will have impure desires. Right? We just see people in this world. If we see beautiful girls in this world, or girls see handsome men in this world, they become bewildered. So what to speak if we see people from higher realms? Right? We'll become completely bewildered. Right? It's described that the women in the heavenly planets are much more beautiful than what is on this earth. It says the most beautiful women on this earth are like frogs compared to the women in the higher realms. And you can see how bewildered we are by the frogs. So what to see if we actually saw the real beauty? Right? And the apsaras in heaven are nothing compared to the Lakshmis in Vaikuntha. Right? And the Lakshmis in Vaikuntha are nothing compared to the gopis in Vrindavan. Right? It says that the gopis in Vrindavan, because they know they're the best, they look down on the Lakshmis in Vaikuntha and they just think, this is nothing. Compared to Radha and everyone in Vrindavan, like, no one compares to that beauty. So therefore we cannot see these things for a good reason. That's why Krishna's removed us at this point in time. Why are we in the material world? Because if we were in the spiritual world right now, we would just cause a lot of problems. Because Krishna would be doing his Rasa Leela, he's dancing with all the gopis. And we'd just be walking around like, you know. So Krishna says, okay, chale. Huh? You go down there. Right? Go down there, get it out of your system. When your heart is pure, come back. But don't come back now. You come back now, you just be big problem. You'll disturb the whole thing. So that's why we are here. No? Until lust, anger, greed, which Krishna says are the 3 gateways to hell in the Gita, right? Until we give up these things, we can't go back to the spiritual world. Okay.
And the gopis with the
gopis? The demigods. In the 10th canto, when the gopis and Krishna are dancing, the demigods, they come and they're watching, but they cannot see any gopis. All the gopis are beyond their vision. They can see Krishna, but they can't see the gopis. Lord Shiva can see, yeah, but he's much higher. Because he takes the form of the gopi, called Gopishwara. So he stands at the edge of the Rasa Mandala, and he guards the Rasa Mandala so no impure people can enter into Krishna's pastime. Lord Shiva blocks everyone else out. That's his service. He keeps all of us out. He keeps me out. Sometimes I go to Vrindavan and then Lord Shiva does things. There's a wall there, an invisible wall. You can't get through the wall. You try to go through, but Lord Shiva's always there and he pushes you back. Yeah, Lord Shiva is ecstatic. Okay. The king of heaven, Indra, brought a suitable sitting place for the goddess of fortune. All the rivers of sacred water, such as the Ganges and Jamuna, personified themselves, and each of them brought pure water in golden water pots for Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. The land became a person and collected all the drugs and herbs needed for installing the deity. The cows delivered 5 products, namely milk, yogurt, ghee, urine, and cow dung. And spring personified collected everything produced in spring during the months of Chaitra and Vishakha, April and May. So we'll read the purport. Jamuna.
Panchagavya, the five products received from the cow, namely milk, yogurt, ghee, cow dung, and cow urine, are required in all ritualistic ceremonies performed according to the Vedic directions. Cow urine and cow dung are uncontaminated, and since even the urine and dung of a cow are important, we can just imagine how important this animal is for human civilization. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, directly addressed Goraksha, the protection of cows, civilized men who follow the system of Varnashrama, especially those of the Vaishya class who engage in agriculture and trade, must give protection to the cows. Unfortunately, people in Kali Yuga are Manda, all bad, and Sumanda Mataya, misled by false conceptions of life. They are killing cows in the thousands. Therefore, they are unfortunate in spiritual consciousness, and nature disturbs them in so many ways, especially through incurable diseases like cancer and through frequent wars among nations. As long as human society continues to allow cows to be regularly killed in slaughterhouses, there cannot be any question of peace and prosperity.
So Prabhupada just makes the obvious, because every time something bad happens, what is going on? Because it's not happening, but it's causing it. So we can't kill all the animals. In Australia, you kill so many animals, right? Why does this happen? Why does that happen? Why does it? You know, you turn on the news and just one bad thing and then that bad thing, and people can't work out why it's all happening. But it's obvious while it's happening, because we are killing so many animals. And Prabhupada's just making a basic point. You stop that, the earth will change dramatically. Mm-hmm. And if you don't stop that, it will get worse dramatically. And that's what's happening.
Like that. So everything happens on our karma. So when the cows get killed, wouldn't that be on their karma?
Yeah, it's their karma to get killed. But if you're doing it or supporting it, then that's also karma.
So then it would just keep going around in a circle until someone stops it?
Yeah, someone has to stop it. Just like I was also reading the other day that Ramesh Baba, you know Ramesh Baba?
Yes.
Ramesh Baba? Yeah, he lives in Varshana, right? Has anyone read Radha Swami's book? The Journey Home, right? So he meets Ramesh Baba in Varshana. He's a great saint. He's a sadhu, still alive now. He's very old now. He lives in Varshana. He's very powerful. When he does Braj Mandal Parikram, 30,000 people go with him. Very powerful, very high-level saint in Braj. Radhanath Swami goes to see him. Sachinandan Swami goes to see him. Bhakti Sananda Swami lives with him. Spends time with him. Very powerful saint. So he made, last week, he had a meeting, because he's very powerful. He had, in his Goshala at Varshana, he has 22,000 cows in his Goshala. Very powerful. To maintain that many cows, that's incredible. You have to have a lot of Shakti. So he's very powerful. So he had a meeting last week in Vrindavan, and he got 22 villagers, the leaders, to come, and he said no more alcohol, because alcohol is a big problem in India. Big problem in Australia as well. But in India, they're all, people just drink all the time like this. So he's okay, no more alcohol in the villages, this whole area, like that. So he's committed them to change. So this is what needs to be done. Prabhupada's making these things have to be done. Animals have to stop being killed. Intoxication has to stop being taken. Abortions have to stop. All these things have to stop, and then the world will become peaceful. Otherwise, it's not possible. So.
A question. Does Hare Krishna movement do they something for stopping animal killing? Or like when we go to on the street and we chant Hare Krishna, it's nice, but maybe we need something like more open the eyes for people, like stop killing animals, or like a slogan, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we have our vegetarian restaurants, so we're teaching people. You know, in our temple, we feed 4,500 people every week. between our two restaurants and our temple and our catering. So, I mean, we're trying as much as we can to make people vegetarian and then to offer their food to Krishna. So if you have any other ideas, then tell us and we'll do that as well.
Start up a radio?
Start up a radio. That's a good idea.
We have one. Can be done for this.
Yeah. So anything. Anything. Get on the television. Do anything. Just do anything to spread Krishna consciousness.
I think the most important thing is when you do the example to others in a humble way.
Yeah.
And then share why you decide to do an action.
Yeah.
And then if people want to do something, you can follow the business. And then in good things, you can create consciousness about something.
So you have to do both. First you have to do it, and then you have to get on the radio and tell everyone in your country to do it. Okay. Both have to be there. No use you speaking if you're not doing it. But if you're doing it, then speak. Tell others as well.
Maybe.
Okay.
What was the name of this person?
Ramesh Baba. Yeah. He's a very powerful saint. Lives in Bhashana. We're going to stop now because we've run out of time. If you have any questions, you can speak to me. Like after. So, exam will be very soon. Next 2 to 3 weeks. Exam's coming, so we'll see you next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
We might see some of you on Sunday for Holi at the farm, and the rest of you will see on next Monday for the class. We might finish chapter 8 next Monday, we'll see. Mm-hmm. We need to catch up a little bit. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.